Okay, everybody. Today is the final part of our short series, Staying Power, which is based on 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now these three remain, faith, hope and love, but the greatest of these is love. So in recent weeks, we've established that these three great forces in our lives are those that give us staying power or stickability, so that we can grow in maturity as Christians. We spent some time looking at hope, which I have to say to you, every time I see the word hope now, my antennas stick up and I'm thinking about what is God telling me about hope in this. I don't know if you noticed, but we've sung hope a couple of times this morning. And we discovered that hope believes that there is a way, because it is a confident expectation attached to an outcome. We've also looked at faith, which we've said is a firm persuasion and a trustworthy conviction based on what we hear, not on what we see. Today, we move on to our third staying power, and I'm calling this message Highest Love, because we're going to talk about what Paul says is the greatest staying power of all. You can't get anywhere without hope. Faith, everybody seems to recognize, is very powerful, very good stuff. But love is greater than all of them. And hope might be, if you like, the forgotten power, because I think people generally have forgotten hope. Faith is the one that everyone sees as being the powerful one, but it isn't as powerful as love. Now, this, of course, does not mean that if you've got love, you don't need hope and faith, because you need the three staying powers. You remember, if you sit on a spike, it will skewer you. If you sit on two spikes, it will be unstable. You'll fall backwards, you'll fall forwards, you will rock. But if you sit on three, if you sit on a three-legged stool, you will have total stability in your life, because the three legs of the stool support you even if the ground is rough. That's why the milkmaid's stool always had three legs, because it was often on rough ground that she was using it. And it's so important that we understand that all three of these are necessary in our lives. And in fact, the only way we can come to maturity in Christ and have staying power is to live a life of love. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3 says, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love everyone has for each of you is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring." That talks about ever-increasing faith, but we also need ever-increasing love. And I'm going to try and talk a little bit about that today. So, my first point, we've had the first point 2 weeks ago was, so what is hope? Last week it was, so what is faith? Well, today it's, so what is love? In English, we love our wives, our husbands, we love sport, we love hamburgers, we love the cinema, we love our pets, we love our friends, we love Shakespeare, and we love love. We love love. In New Testament days, the written language was Greek, which had different words for all of these loves. Firstly, a word that actually isn't found in the Bible, eros, from which we get the word erotic, means sexual love. Secondly, a word which is found in the Bible is philio, which means to have a tender affection as one would for a friend. So, in the New Testament, we have a letter of Paul to Philemon. And Philemon means friendly. Philio, Philemon, it's the same root. So philia is that love which is based in friendship, that comes with friendship. Philia is also the Greek word used for kissing. It means more like kissing your friend as a greeting. You know how the French do, you know, both sides. That sort of kiss. Not a passionate kiss, which of course tells you a lot about how our minds are wired, in that we immediately think kissing passion, but actually the Greeks immediately thought kissing friendship. And we need to just bear in mind sometimes that the way our minds are wired is not the way the Bible was written. Matthew 26, verse 48. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss, philia, is the man, arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. It is also used, philia, in terms of Jesus and the Father. John 11:35, the verse you know very well because it's the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Verse 36, then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And Jesus loved Lazarus with a filial love. John 16:27, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. The Father loves you, philia, because you have loved me, philia. John 20, verse 2, so she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So philia is a very fair word to be used of God the Father, to be used of God the Son. The Bible uses it. God has a tender affection for us. Jesus has a tender affection for us. But thirdly, there is this word which represents the highest form of love. Agapeo. Agapeo. Agapeo is a love which loves even when it's not reciprocated. It isn't dependent on being loved back. It is an unselfish love that describes the attitude of God to mankind. It motivates God. Agapeo motivates God. Now listen to Matthew 5, verse 43. You have heard what has been said. Agapeo your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, agapeo your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you agapeo those who agapeo you, what reward will you have? And you see how Jesus here is saying, agapeo is not, it doesn't have to be reciprocated. If you agapeo, if you love someone who loves you, that's reciprocated, isn't it? So if you love them without getting loved back, that's agapeo. It is important that we know that the Bible has different words for love, because we don't want to get hamburgers mixed up with our wives or husbands. And, you know, it is a bit annoying in English that we do love all these same things and it's the one word. But it's important with our understanding of the New Testament that we recognize these are different words. So here we come to the beach scene. John 21. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly agapeo me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know that I filio you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly agapeo me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I filio you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you filio me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you filio me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. you know that I filio you. And when you think of the close proximity that event had to the event where Judas filioed Jesus in the garden, betraying him with a kiss, just imagine what's going through Peter's head. What a tremendous, what an encounter with Jesus. Do you agapeo me? Do you love me unselfishly? Are you motivated by my love? Lord, you know that I have a tender affection for you. And finally, Jesus turns round to Peter and says, Peter, do you have a tender affection for me? And Peter says, Lord, you know that I do. Love is something we need to understand, and we need to recognise that filio love is important and it shouldn't be knocked. It's just that God wants us to learn to manifest his agapeo love. Don't think that Peter didn't get this, because if you read 1 Peter, it's full of agapeo love. Peter writes about it. For example, above all, keep the agapeo for one another at full strength, since agapeo loves, covers a multitude of sins. That's 1 Peter 4 verse 8. But there's lots of agapeo in 1 Peter. So Peter learnt that lesson. You understand that? He moved on. He moved on from filioing Jesus to agapeoing Jesus. Matthew 10 verse 37. Jesus says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, how do we understand that verse? Well, you have to understand that Jesus isn't using the word agapeo in this verse. He's using the word filio. Anyone who filios his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who filios his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He's not saying you shouldn't have agapeo love for your mum, your dad, your son, your daughter. But what he's saying is, if you haven't got more than just a tender affection for me, there's something up. My second point is, why is love important? Well, the answer is very simple. It's here in 1 Corinthians 13:13, because the greatest of these is agapeo. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said to him, love, agapeo, the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment for us to agapeo God. The second is like it, agapeo your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. This is what love is about. Love keeps the commandments, John 14:15. If you agapeo me, you will keep my commandments. 1 John 2 verse 5, if you keep the commandments, love is consummated within us. If anyone obeys his word, it says, God's love, God's agapeo, is truly made complete in him. Our relationship with God may start with filio, like Peter's did, but the command of our Lord Jesus is to agapeo God and to agapeo each other. If we love, we can make our way without falling. 1 John 2:10. Whoever loves agapeo his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. You know, I would just ask you to think about that verse backwards today. If you're finding you keep stumbling, and other people are involved in that stumbling, then I would just ask you to consider, is it because you don't agapeo them? Because if you have agapeo love in your heart for people, you won't stumble regarding people. But if you haven't got that, you will. Think about that one. God's love is revealed in us when we agapeo love. 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us agapeo one another, because agapeo is from God. And everyone who agapeos has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not agapeo does not know God, because God is agapeo. God's agapeo was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Agapeo consists in this. Not that we agapeo God, but that he agapeoed us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in that way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we agapeo one another, God remains in us and his love is perfected in us. That word propitiation, just in case you don't get it, it means an atoning sacrifice. So God's love sent Jesus to be an atoning sacrifice, propitiation for our sins. If God loved us, agapeoed us, we must also agapeo one another. I'm stressing this word, but we need to understand this is the behavior required for Christians. This is what maturity looks like as a Christian. If you are moving on to maturity in God, which I pray and believe you all are, you must be learning to love. If the manifestation of love in our lives is love for this world, then we don't love God. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. It's often been said, but it isn't money that's bad. It's when you love money that it's bad. My third point today is, where does love come from? Like saving faith, which we talked about last week, love is a gift from God. Agapeo has its source in God. 1 John 4:19. We agapeo him because he first agapeoed us. How can Christ be formed in us? How can the character of Jesus, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, be formed in us without genuine love? You know, you have to ask yourself, how do you get this love from God if you're going to grow in it? And I think there are some simple ways we can learn. The first thing is, love comes from intimacy with God. 1 John 4:16, God is love, God is agapeo, and the one who remains in agapeo love remains in God, and God remains in him. Do you remember how Moses used to go into the tent of meeting and he would come out and have to cover his head up because he glowed? The presence of God, it just did something to him. And people couldn't stand to see him because he shone. But it says his young servant, Joshua, didn't come out. He stayed in the tent. He stayed where God was. And God was preparing him for a great task to lead the people in to the promised land. Joshua needed that level of intimacy with God. If you feel there is a lack of agapeo love in your life, can I first suggest to you, you need to work on your intimacy with God. And you say, well, how can you be intimate with God? I'll tell you how. By talking to him. By sharing with him. By engaging with him. By making him the focal point of your life. The other day, my wife and I were out somewhere and we saw this young couple. When I say young, they can't have been 15. And they were all over each other like a rash. And my wife looked at me and I looked at her. And, you know, they were clearly besotted with each other. Besotted. And you might say, well, that doesn't compute for me. How can you be besotted with God? I worship him. I come to church. But God is asking us to move to intimacy with Christ so that we might learn to love him even if he doesn't reciprocate the love, which he does. But he has already loved us even if we don't reciprocate. And we know for millions of people in this world don't reciprocate that love. But God still loves them. God loves every murderer. God loves every nice person. God loves every heterosexual. God loves every homosexual. God loves every asexual. God loves people. He does. But unless they will reciprocate his love, how can they learn to live in love? So get intimate with God. Spend time. Allocate time in your busy week. Time where you will sit alone with God and talk with him. Sometimes it helps to walk with him. Sometimes it helps to bike with him. Sometimes it just helps to be alone. But make that opportunity. Christianity is not a system of rules, regulations, rituals. It is relationship. The best relationships are always based on love. So sometimes our faith isn't working because love isn't working in our lives. Love is our best advert. John 13:34. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Love motivates us to say what needs saying. Think of the rich young ruler in Mark 10. Then looking at him, Jesus loved him and said to him, what Jesus said to him came out of his love. It doesn't matter so much right now what was said. What matters is what Jesus said came out of love. If only we could achieve that with each other. Love makes us act extravagantly, purposefully, and dramatically when love says it's appropriate. Luke 7:47, the woman with the box of ointment that she broke on Jesus' feet. Jesus said, for she agapeoed much. For God agapeoed the world in this way. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish. Without love, God isn't there. We haven't got a relationship with God unless we are trying, seeking to love God. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. If nothing you do is motivated by love, if you don't treat people out with love in your heart, then people have a right to point at you and say, don't think they're a Christian. And you might say, but I put my hand up in a meeting. You know, but we've got to move on from decisions to the drama of love in our lives. Love is always, always a practical thing. No manifestation of love means no manifestation of God. Romans 5:8. God proves his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see that? God didn't wait till you'd sorted yourself out. God didn't wait until you had achieved nirvana. God didn't wait until you were a really nice person. God sent his son in advance. We must love, not in word or in speech, but in deed and in truth. That's 1 John 3:18. Fourth point, how do we learn to love? So we spend time in intimacy with him who is love, but then we also pray for those we don't love. Now, you might say, well, how does that work? That has worked for me over the years consistently. People that I couldn't stand, I can honestly say I have come to love by praying for them. When you pray for people, you connect with God's heart for them. And when you connect with God's heart, you cannot not love them. How do we learn to love? When we start to serve. Jesus, John 13:1, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. He got down, wearing nothing but a towel, washed their feet, dried their feet with the towel. This is the full extent of his love. He served people. And Galatians 5 puts it this way, for you are called to freedom, brothers, but don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the entire law is fulfilled in one statement: you shall love your neighbour as yourself. This is what love is. It's spending time with God. It's praying for those that we're struggling to love. It's starting to serve them. And Ephesians 6:7 says this: serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord. Don't look at people and say, well, I don't fancy serving them. Serve God. Serve God. I never forget when a Sunday school prize giving, when I walked to the front and picked up my first class with honours, which I always got every year, 52 attendances. I was a good boy. And I remember the preacher that year saying, whatever you do for your mum and dad, do it out of love. Love them. And don't question what they tell you to do, but just love them and do it. And at that time, I had this horrible thing that my mother would always tell me to go and turn the immersion heater on, and then an hour later, go and turn it off. And the immersion heater was upstairs in the bathroom. You had to open the cupboard door, flick a switch, and go down. An hour later, you got a remote to go. And it used to drive me up the wall. And this is in the days before, you know, these wonderful instant heating gas boilers. We didn't have central heating, let alone a gas boiler. But we dependent on that for water, hot water. But, you know, I went to church that day angry that my mother had made me turn on the immersion heater before I'd left. And I went home joyfully to turn it off, because she said to us, whatever you do, don't do it for them, do it for Jesus. And you know, when I realized I was turning the immersion heater on and off for Jesus, it ceased to be a labor. These things, they seem little, but you know, that changed my life. My fifth point: how does love work with hope and faith? You know, faith without love doesn't actually count. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1, if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Don't come to me and say, but I'm a man of great faith, unless you love the church. Unless you love the body of Christ, unless you love people, unless you love people in the street. Don't come to me bragging about your faith. One without the other is no good. Doesn't count to God. Doesn't make any difference to God. Faith works through love. Galatians 5:5. For by the Spirit we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness from faith. We've got hope in that sentence as well as faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision accomplishes anything. What matters is faith working through love. Faith and love together make a sound. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you. How did he hear? Faith and love together, they made a sound. So far that Paul could hear it where he was writing from. God enters our life through our faith, but we are established through love. I pray that he might grant you, this is Ephesians 3, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, width, height, and depth, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. If you want the fullness of God, you need to learn what love is. That's how we sound the very depths of the love of God, by ourselves activating love in our lives. And faith and love both spring from hope. Colossians 1 verse 5, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you. You know, you say, I only need faith and love. No, you need hope. Because without the hope, you don't get the faith and the love. It's very important that we have hope in our lives. And faith, hope, and love are part of our armour. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Pum, pum, pum. Yeah? armour. We carry on working when we have faith, hope and love. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 3. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word work means sort of toil. The word labour means to beat or to cut. And the word endurance means cheerful endurance. All of those things work together to make us productive as Christians. You know, is there anybody in this room that just wants a bit of religion? Or do you actually want to be a productive Christian? I want to be a productive Christian. Therefore, I am seeking to apply hope, faith and love in my life. This scripture I'm reading, I'm giving you, is from West's translation. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 3. We are always giving thanks to God concerning all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering unceasingly your work produced and characterized by the faith which is yours, and your toil motivated and characterized by your divine and self-sacrificial love, and your patient endurance under trials which find its source in your hope which rests in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's West translation. It's the same verse I read to you before, but it just brings out the meaning of those three words quite effectively, I think. So, conclusion. In moving on to Christian maturity, it is helpful to get as much sound Bible teaching as we can. It is good to fellowship together whenever we can. Jesus says, the writer to the Hebrews says, don't neglect to fellowship together, but meet together all the more often as the day of the Lord's coming approaches. It is important that we have a clear point in our week or in our lives where we remember the Lord's death. We've done that today in communion. It's also important that we have a clear, established regime of prayer in our lives. It's also good to get involved in some type of ministry to the poor and to the needy. But unless in all the Bible teaching, fellowship, communion, prayer and ministry, we allow hope, faith and love to grow in our lives, all that happens is we become religious. And that, I would suggest to you, is how some have shot themselves in the foot. Yes, they're religious. Yes, they go to church. Yes, they do this. But without hope, faith and love in our lives, we don't have the staying power to get through. We don't have that establishment that we can build on in our lives so that we can become an evidence of a living Jesus. We have to have hope so that we can believe there is a way forward. We must have faith so that we can activate the promises of God and activate them in our lives. Above all, though, we must love. Otherwise, in all our activity and religion, we will not actually show anybody who God is. We all need the staying power in our lives so that we're not blown about by every wind of doctrine, so that we continue in the faith, so that we don't simply mess up. Some of the things we think we don't need at all. We need hope, we need faith, we need love. And if we apply these to our lives, we will have staying power. Would you bow your heads with me? We've learned a lot the last 3 weeks about these three great staying powers. But I am personally drawn to reconsider, what are the drivers in my life? What are those things in my life that make me get up in the morning and serve you and seek God? What are these drivers? And I am drawn to these three staying powers and feel inclined to say, God, give me more. If you are hopeless, God will give you hope. If you are faithless, he who is faithful will empower you with faith. He has already given you faith for salvation. And you don't need a lot of faith, because if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you will be able to cast mountains into the sea. But ultimately, we all must learn to move on from being able to give God a polite kiss on the left and the right cheek, moving on from filio to agapeo. We must learn to love God with all our heart, soul and mind and being and spirit and everything in us, and to love our neighbour as ourselves. We're just going to have a moment's quiet. I just want you to talk to God yourself about releasing these staying powers in your life. Father God, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus. We ask you to help us in our walk with you, to increase our intimacy with you, to increase our prayers for those that we not only don't love, but we don't even like. Help us in our serving, to serve them, to pray for them, and may our love for you overflow into them and outwards into our lives, revealing Christ to this world. Lord, it's a really powerful verse that says, when you love one another, they will know you are my disciples. Lord, help us to love one another. Lord, we just say right now in our hearts, we will love everyone in this church. And Lord, help us, if we have any issues, any problems, help us to love them all. And may we all become stronger and more stable in hope, faith, and love in the days ahead. In Jesus' name.